to fear now, for I am safe with you. Oh, let's shout it out this morning, yes. So when I fight, oh, fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, yes. And every fear I lay at your feet, Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you.
Yes.
When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. Thank you, God.
Yes.
When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb.
Oh, let's lift our hands and sing it, yes.
So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, yes. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Psalm 87 says, better is one day in the courts of our God, amen, than a thousand elsewhere. The thing that we should treasure most is not what God can provide, but it's Him, because He is the greatest gift. He is the treasure. Can I get an amen in this place? So this next song is going to be new for you, but let this be our heart's cry. Say, Lord, we want more of You.
Simple melodies
my treasure, my delight. Fall like rain, Holy Spirit, fall like rain. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let your glory fall down. Let your glory fall down. One thing I ask, one thing I seek, so much more than anything, to dwell within your house for all my days.
Yes.
And knowing you is everything, so I let go of lesser things. You alone are worthy of my praise. So stir in me your passion for your name.
Yeah.
Your praises is what we seek. It's what we seek, Jesus. just invite the Lord into our hearts today to do his work right now. Open our hearts before him right now for his purposes to be accomplished within us today. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We need you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. We seek your face today, Lord. We draw near to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. There is none like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we sing this together? There is none like you. No one else can fill my heart. No one else can fill my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Sing that to the Lord right now. None like you. There is none like you.
There is none.
No one else can touch my heart like you. I can search for all eternity long and find every. One more time to the Lord. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. No one else. No one else can touch
my heart like you. Like you.
And I can search for all eternity. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Amen. Thank God there's no need for us to search for all eternity long. We've already found him. He is the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, our King, our Lord. How we love him today and bless him. How grateful we are for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst today. You know, when the Lord is present, anything is possible. God is moving by his Spirit in our hearts today as we draw near to him. And today as we go to the Lord together in prayer, we're reminded that it's the Lord who has invited us to come here. He's welcomed us. We've welcomed the Holy Spirit today, but it's the Lord who welcomed us first into his presence. And we're so glad today for that blessed invitation to come near to the Lord and to live in his grace and in his favor. So this morning, if you have a need, lift it up to the Lord right now. Could you do that? And trust the Lord right now with whatever you might be facing, whatever you might need. Thank you, Lord. Presence is here today, Lord. We thank you that you are more than enough. Fill our hearts and lives, first of all, Lord. And then, Lord, we give all of our needs. We cast our cares upon you today, knowing that you care for us and you love us so much today, dear Lord. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Today, we bring to you the sad news of the passing of our brother Ted Ballinger. Many of you have already heard that news. Brother Ted passed away into the presence of the Lord on Thursday. A strong man of God, a man of faith, a man of love and grace. And today he's in the presence of Jesus. We thank God for that. We're going to be celebrating his life together this Tuesday in a memorial service here in the sanctuary at noon. Tuesday at noon, services for Ted Ballinger. We hope that many of you might be able to attend that service and celebrate with us together. We also invite your prayers for the Ballinger family and for that service. We also ask for your prayers for services tomorrow for a young man in our community who died a tragic death, and will be hosting and officiating the funeral services for that young man. We pray a special gift of comfort for his family, and pray that the Lord will come near to them and that the Lord's love will shine through powerfully right here in this sanctuary. Can we right now just ask that the presence of the Lord would just really linger in this sanctuary, especially for the next couple of days as we come together to mark the passing of loved ones? Can we just pray that right now? Lord, may your presence be so heavy in this sanctuary, Lord God. May your grace just be drawing people to yourself, O Lord. May the work of your Holy Spirit be taking place, Lord. We pray the gospel would shine through, the good news of Jesus, even to unbelievers, O Lord. We pray that believers would be filled with hope in Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. We pray, O God, that as we continue through this service today, you would guide us and direct us continually by your Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. We want to, well, let's just continue this morning with one more song of worship, and then we'll get into the preaching of the word together. Just let's apply our hearts to worshiping the Lord today for a little longer. And Heidi, would you lead us, please, this morning?
When peace like a Jesus, oh, that Christ have the reason.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, congregation. You may be seated this morning as we look to the Word of God together. Aren't you looking forward to the coming of the Lord? Oh, I am. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. This is a troubled world in which we're living. Thank God we have hope beyond this world. Amen. And it's so good to be able to trust in the Lord today with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In our own understanding, we would surely become so frustrated we wouldn't be able to make it. But thank God for the Lord and His Word and His promises and His peace and His assurances today. We are a blessed people. Amen. Well, last Sunday morning, we looked at a great battle in the pages of Scripture in the book of Exodus about the lifting of hands to the Lord and trusting the Lord. How many of you here today trust the Lord to get you through every tough time in life? Say amen. Can we lift our hands for a moment in the sanctuary? That battle was won, said the Lord, said Moses, because hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. When we lift our hands to the Lord, it's an expression that we trust the Lord, that our confidence is in Him, and that we're giving Him all of the praise and the glory. And we lift our hands together in the house of God because the Scripture exhorts us to do so. Psalm 34 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And we are grateful for a great God who is worthy of our praise. Could you say amen? And this morning now we go to another passage of Scripture and the story of a great battle in the life of King David. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And here's the record before us, verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went down to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Today we read about the God of the breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Do you need a breakthrough victory in some area of your life today? We often find ourselves in that place where we've come up against a wall, against a roadblock, against an immovable mountain, and we need God's help to be able to break through that situation into new territory. Really, the very word breakthrough itself suggests the breaking through a barrier of some kind. Some force that stood in the way of forward movement. And a breakthrough crashes through that opposition to bring us to a new place. We need a breakthrough in life when we're up against a wall, when we can't move forward, when we can't get through, when we can't get ahead, when we're stuck and we're stumped. I find that sometimes we need a breakthrough even just in places where we find ourselves in a religious rut. Because sometimes we just sort of get in a place of stagnation where we really need to get to the next place, but maybe the barrier is just weariness or discouragement or some kind of, sense of just not having the energy to move forward. We need a breakthrough even to get through that into the next place that God has for us. And a breakthrough brings us from that place of stagnation into a place of victory. It's an expansion of territory and a gaining of new ground as the barrier gives way and the breakthrough victory comes. In the scriptures today, the newly anointed King David was confronted early in his reign with an enemy army that came against him and was determined to take his life and ultimately to take the territory of the people of God. And David calls on God, the God of the breakthrough, who breaks out against his enemies in this story. And David will name the place Baal Perazim, which means God is the Lord of the breakthrough, the Lord of breaking through. That's what David calls the Lord in this story. He's the Lord of breaking through. Breakthrough victories belong to the Lord. And so this morning I'm going to take a few moments to examine this Old Testament story of military victory, to talk about the power of God to lead us into new places of victory. Really, we have before us today two separate stories, but they are connected. These battles before us today take place between the same two forces, the Philistines against David, and these two battles take place in the same location, in the Valley of Rephaim. So, you know, we might be tempted to think that when God brings us a victory, that's the end of the story and we'll never have to fight another battle. Wrong. How many of you have ever won a battle only to start into a brand new battle? We know what that's like. And so we have two stories before us today. We'll examine both of them. I call them the Battle of the Breakthrough and the Battle in the Balsams. And let's examine, first of all, this morning, this breakthrough battle, the Battle of the Breakthrough. What happened in this story? Well, David was targeted. The enemy came at him. Now, make no mistake, this was a personal target placed upon new King David, young, newly anointed King David. Verse 17 says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. They have targeted David. Why? Well, David is now the center of the people of God in Israel. He's the leader of the nation. And the Philistines want to come and expand from their territory in the west and move eastward. And the Philistines have a desire to take over all of the Israelites' territory. And so now that there's a new king in town, it's time, they think maybe, to launch a new attack and to try to conquer the new king and maybe move in to that territory and gain that land for themselves. And so they target David. The enemy came at him. Now we need to make two notes about David in this story. First of all, David was God's appointed king. How many of you see this morning, as we think about this battle, that God was already involved in this situation? Yeah, before the battle ever began, God had been moving. In fact, God is the God of history and eternity. God has been involved in the process of raising up his people all down through the centuries. And it's God who has appointed David king over Israel. Now, the first lesson the Philistines should have learned was, don't mess with God's leader. All right, David was there as God's king in place by God's divine design, and yet the Philistines are coming to try to get David. They're coming to get him. He was God's appointed king, and David was God's anointed king. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. In fact, listen, David had the power of the Spirit of God upon him since he was about 16 or 17 years old. Did you know that? When Samuel came and poured a bucket of oil, a horn of oil, upon David's head, the Bible says that David, just a teenage young man at the time, was filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came upon David in power from that day. Did you know that a teenager can be mighty in the Lord? And from the age of 16 or 17, David was the anointed of the Lord. And he had the power of the Spirit of God resting upon him. So if there is a second lesson the Philistines should have learned, it says, don't mess with God's appointed and don't mess with God's anointed. Because you're fighting a losing battle if you do that. And so David had the power of God upon him, but the Philistines, the enemy, came against him. Do you know that every Christian believer, how many Christian believers do we have in the house today? Lift your hand, say amen. Do you know that every Christian believer has an anointing of the Holy Spirit from God? That's what we read in 1 John chapter 2. You all, says John, have an anointing upon you, and that anointing is real and not counterfeit, and that anointing remains upon you, says John. As we're walking with the Lord, we as believers have the anointing of the Lord. We've been appointed by God into various places and positions and purposes, and we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us as we do that. I encourage you, everybody, wherever you walk in this world, to walk in the power and the presence of God, walking to fulfill His purposes and understanding who you are in the midst of this dark and troubled world. We are the people of God. Isn't that right? We're the people of God. David was God's anointed king. He was God's appointed king. And the enemy came at him. And the enemy will come at you as well. And I suggest to you that perhaps this is true. I've heard people say this through the years at least. I think perhaps this is true. The more willing you are to be used by God and to make a difference for the kingdom of God, the more likely you are to be targeted by the enemy. So if you're not causing the enemy any trouble, he might leave you alone too. But that's not the best place to live. And so they targeted David. The enemy came at him and the enemy camped against him. Verse 18 says, now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Like a big wall, they spread out in the valley against David, and they were poised and ready to attack. David was targeted. But we're going to find in this story that David was triumphant in the midst of this attack. What did David do when the enemy came? Well, think about it. First, he asked for the Lord's counsel. Lord, what should I do? Can we try that out for a minute? Everybody say that with me. Lord, what should I do? You know what? We ought to be asking that of the Lord on a regular basis. Lord, what should I do? And David asked for the Lord's counsel. Look at verse 19. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? Now think about the picture in the story. The Philistine army was camped out there, but they had not yet brought on an attack. And so David has the enemy just camped out there down in the valley, and here he is, and they're out there, and David's wondering, well, what should I do? Shall I wait until they attack, or shall I attack first? That's his question of the Lord. And so he asks the Lord, should I go and attack, and will you hand them over to me? So David asks, what should I do, and what's going to happen? Now, the Lord does not always answer both of those questions. What should I do, and what's going to be the outcome? I'd say that more often than not, the answer that God doesn't necessarily provide us is the answer to the second question. What's the outcome going to be? What's it going to look like? But the first question is a critical question for every tough situation we face. Lord, what should I do? Should I go and attack? Should I stay here? What direction should I go? Seeking the Lord is critical to walking in the Lord's victory. And we need the Lord's direction. There are many ways to seek the Lord's counsel. We'll talk about it a little bit more at the end of this message. But as we think about seeking the Lord's counsel, the first thing we always do is go to the Scriptures. Would you say amen? What does the Scriptures say? What do the Scriptures say I should do? How can I handle this situation biblically, scripturally. When we stay in the parameters and in the guidelines of scriptural directives, we're always going to be safe. Then, as we stay within the parameters of scriptural direction, we have that voice of the Holy Spirit as well that can help us maneuver even in the midst of that vein, in the midst of that course of staying in biblical parameters. We have the Holy Spirit helping us to maneuver and to know what to do, what to say. We thank God for the Holy Spirit who can give us peace about situations or can cause us to be troubled and stirred about situations that are not right. The Holy Spirit can give us warnings when we need to be warned, and he can give us assurances when we need to be assured, and we need that. And listen, the closer we walk and talk with the Lord, the more we will experience that leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes. So David asked for the counsel of the Lord. Should I go and attack? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord responded, and David attacked at the Lord's command. Verse 19, the Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you." So David went to Baal-perazim, and there he defeated them. So the Lord gave him both answers up front. Y'all go ahead and go, and you're going to win this battle. I'm going to give it into your hands. David attacked, and he defeated them. And when the conquest was finished, David acknowledged the Lord's conquest and said, "The Lord has done this." We saw that last Sunday morning as we looked at that story in the life of Moses, at that battle in the life of Moses. When the battle was over, Moses said, "God did this." I want you to know, friends, that in every one of the battles that we're going to see in the pages of Scripture, as we, Lord willing, look at six important battles in the Old Testament, we're going to find that in every one of these battles, God's people gave him the glory when the victory came about. And we need to learn to do that, because listen, if you don't give the glory to God for the battle you won yesterday, watch out tomorrow. You know, we don't want to find out what it's like to fight without the Lord on our side, do we? We want to engage all of our enemies in the power of God. And David acknowledged the Lord. Verse 20, he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." So that place was called Baal-perazim. Have you ever watched the video of a dam breaking? Anybody ever watched that? A dam breaking, it's a powerful sight to see as the power of that water against that dam breaks through that dam and the water rushes through. We think about the power of that kind of breakthrough, and that's exactly what David is describing. God has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. And he says, God is a mighty God. He can break through any barrier. He can break through any enemy. He can break through any stronghold. He can break through the army that's standing against me. And David said, God is the God of the breakthrough. I want you to know today, we preach around here and we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God who brought a breakthrough for David can bring a breakthrough for you and me. Everybody say, God is able. He is not limited. Sometimes we may become so frustrated at situations that linger in our lives that we lose faith and confidence that God can bring us a breakthrough, but God can bring you a breakthrough today. He is able. Let's trust him. David was targeted. David was triumphant, but David's triumph was temporary. The enemy was defeated, yes, verse 21. Says the Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. He was defeated, but this enemy was determined. And verse 22 says, once more, everybody say once more. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Now, think about this today. Have you ever gotten victory in a particular area of your life only to see that thing come around again? Same battle comes back again. You have to fight the same enemy. I'll tell you, the enemy we face is a strategic enemy. The devil is no dummy, although, well, maybe I ought to back up on that. He's a dummy because he rebelled against the Almighty God. How many of you know that's pretty dumb? How many of you know when you rebel against the Almighty God and sentence yourself to eternal doom, that's pretty dumb? But in his battle against us, he uses strategies that are very crafty. Let me just say, instead of saying the devil's not dumb, let me say the devil is very crafty. That's how the book of Genesis describes him. More crafty than all the other creatures, the serpent was more crafty, more sneaky, strategic in his attacks against us. And the enemy will come again and again in the areas that he perceives are our areas of weakness. And so this enemy that stood against David, the Philistines, was determined. So the battle of the breakthrough ends, but then the battle in the balsams begins. The enemy returned. And notice, they came with the same purpose. Once more, verse 22, the Philistines came up. What was their purpose this time? To get David? To destroy the people of God? And to move into their territory? The purpose of invasion was the same purpose, to destroy them. The purpose was the same, and they even came to the same place. Verse 22 says, they came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Now you'd think they would have learned their lesson the first time, but here they come again to attack the people of God again. And they're spread out again. And it's the same tactic. They just spread out there. They're not launching an attack yet, but they're poised to attack. It's the same tactic. We think to ourselves, my goodness, who was the Philistine military advisor? They come up, they do the exact same thing. They spread out in the same valley and they wait for David to make a decision. And David's confronted then with making a decision and the engagement reoccurred. Notice David repeated his inquiry. Verse 23 says, so David inquired of the Lord. We learn an important principle about David. David always wanted to know what God had to say about it. What an important note that is. What does God have to say? What should I do? And David received his instructions. Verse 23 says, David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, do not go straight up. Now, we come to a change in the story. The enemy has come, spread out in the same valley, taken up the same strategy. We're going to stay here and wait. The enemy has done the exact same thing as he did before. David now has done the exact same thing as he did before. He inquires of the Lord, what should I do? But now the Lord changes up the story. And instead of saying, go on, go straight on and attack them and I'll hand them over, the Lord brings some specific redirection and clarity into his instructions. Listen to what the Lord says. Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So the Lord gives a whole new set of instructions, and these are complicated instructions. These are instructions given to David, I believe, for the express purpose that David might learn in this second battle that yes, he gave the credit to the Lord the first time, but I believe the Lord is clarifying here so that David might close out this second battle knowing God told me exactly what to do, God did exactly what he said he was going to do, and certainly there's no question about it in my heart or in my mind. The Lord is the one who has defeated my enemy. And sometimes I believe the Lord will bring us into places and cause circumstances and situations to fall into place and give us particular direction so that when we come through that thing, we won't say, well, I got through it. I'm not sure exactly how I got through it, but I will thank the Lord. No, we won't be able to do that. At the end of the thing, we'll have to say, nothing and nobody could have accomplished this in the way that it happened. It had to be God. It had to be God. It had to be God. The evidence was all around me. God maneuvered this thing so that in the end I might know this victory had to be God. It had to be God. And I really believe that, because this is such an unusual story, I just have to believe in my spirit, this is why God gave David this set of specific instructions, so that David would have to say, this had to be God. Look at the verse again and the instruction. Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David was to wait for a cue. I'll never forget, maybe 34, 35 years ago, an old preacher by the name of Dr. James Brown preached here at First Assembly. Not the same James Brown that some of you are familiar with. This was an old preacher by the name of Dr. James Brown. He came and he preached at First Assembly. And he preached from this story. Of course, in the King James Version, these trees are called mulberry trees. And he preached about the marching in the tops of the mulberry trees and the sound of that marching. And Dr. James Brown was a giant of a man. He was a big, big man, an old gentleman, but he was large in stature and had a strong frame. And I'll never forget him during that sermon began to stomp on the platform, and it echoed through the building as he said, God is marching in the top of the mulberry trees. Can you hear the sound of the Lord moving in our midst? And David was charged to wait until he heard a sound, the sound of God marching. Let's think about this instruction. The Lord provided specific strategies to David, and the Lord provided supernatural support. Notice, the Lord said, the army of the Lord, the Lord will go out in front of you, David says, the Lord says to David. So when you get ready for battle, the Lord is going to go first. Now, how many of you, when you go to battle, you want the Lord to go first also? The Lord's going to go out first. So you wait on the Lord. That's the point. Go get ready to attack, but wait on the Lord, because the Lord's going to go out in front of you. And how are you going to know that the Lord has gone out in front of you? How are you going to know the supernatural support has arrived? Well, the Lord provided signaling sounds. You're going to hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees. What was that sound? The sound of the army of the Lord. Now, this was obviously a supernatural occurrence. God is able to provide us with supernatural occurrences as well, and supernatural signs. And God is also able to speak into our spirits with words and with sounds and with senses that are so strong that we know this is the Lord bringing us the assurance that we need. And so David received the instructions. They were really specific, and said, go on out, but wait until you hear the sound of the Lord, and then go on and attack, because the Lord has already gone out in front of you. And as a result, David obeyed, and David reconquered the invaders. Verse 25 says, so David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Everybody say, a greater victory. Okay, here we go. Here we go. The second time around, the second engagement of this enemy led to a greater victory. as David struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gibeon, all the way. If you looked on a map, you'd see Jerusalem there. You'd see the Philistine territory over by the Mediterranean Sea. You'd see that expanse between that, and you could see from Gibeon to Gezer. You would see that David stretched across there and brought victory and struck down the Philistines in a wide swath of territory. God gave David a greater victory. Listen to me. The second battle ended in a greater victory. I believe even that is a principle for us. Because as we grow in the Lord, and how many of you are growing in the Lord? Say amen. As we grow in the Lord, we want to take more spiritual territory all the time, don't we? Don't you want to be a stronger Christian than you were last year? Yeah, could I have a better amen? Don't you want to be more victorious over things that would try to come against you than you were 5 years ago? Could I have an amen? Of course we do. And so when we face a second battle, the goal is greater victory. Isn't that right? I think of somebody maybe who's addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol, an alcoholic or something, and they struggle and they pray and they want to serve God, but they keep falling down, they keep fighting that battle. The goal is not to stay in the same rut and the same routine over and over and over the rest of your life. The goal is to get greater victory from God and greater victory from God and greater victory from God until one day the enemy doesn't even bother you with that temptation. You are strong and victorious, and the enemy is a defeated foe. Those are the kinds of victories we need in life. Growing victories. And so David reconquered the invaders and God brought about a greater victory. Now let's close with these summaries. One, the Lord is the God of breaking out and breaking through, striking out and striking down. These terms come from our stories today in the scripture. The Lord is God of breaking out and breaking through, striking out and striking down, driving out and driving off. Think about that terminology. The Lord can break through any situation, and he can break you out of any situation. Amen. And the Lord can strike out against your enemies to the degree that he strikes down your enemies, right? We said last week, remember, we're talking about spiritual enemies here primarily in this study. And the Lord can drive out the enemies and drive them completely off. He's able to accomplish the thing. So don't lose hope when the Lord is on your side. Don't lose hope. Look at somebody and say, don't lose hope. Come on, come on, cooperate. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Number two, getting God's guidance in the midst of the battles of life is critical to fighting strategically. So consult the scriptures, pray for wisdom, and listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as I believe, as we seek the direction of God, God will be faithful to provide the direction we need. I believe that. I believe that. Three, some enemies we may fight repeatedly. So learn from every battle. Sharpen your spiritual skills continually and determine to trust the Lord for greater victory. I say it to you again, learn from every battle and say to yourself, I'm not going to make that same mistake again. Do you hear that? I won't make that same mistake again. Learn from every battle experience, sharpen your spiritual skills, and determine to trust the Lord for greater victory. And number four, we'll keep fighting battles till the last enemy is defeated and we make it home to heaven. So tighten your armor, fight the good fight, and run the race to win. How many in the house today are determined? You're going to walk with Jesus in victory after victory until you make it home to heaven. Say a good amen. And we're going to do that by trusting the Lord all the way.